Hey everyone, Rob B here with Rob D, and you are listening to the Property Podcast. And my oh my, mortgages, they are a hot topic right now, but rightly so, because they are all over the place. So this week, we bring in an expert to get all the big questions answered.
Welcome to the Property Podcast. This is the show where we take time out from our jobs of advising a multi-million pound property fund, which you can learn about at portfolio.co.uk, and putting together hundreds of transactions for our clients at Property Hub Invest, and bring you some of the knowledge that we've gained along that way. And today we're supplementing that knowledge with the latest insights from a true mortgage expert, getting deep into what is, let's face it, the most important issue of the moment for investors. So do make sure you stick around. But first, we've got a little bit of news to cover.
So it's time for our news story of the week now. And Rob, there's so much been happening recently that we've not even paused to talk about this. So it's the first time that we'll be discussing the autumn budget. So what was your take on this? It's had a mixed reaction, not as bad as the last mini budget that we had, which was a disaster, at least from the market's perspectives anyway. But understandably, the individual on the street isn't loving it because we're being taxed at a higher rate than ever before.
Yeah, I've not really dug into this much. I know what's changed, we'll talk that through in a minute. But in terms of like developing deep thoughts about it, I haven't got that far. What struck me was we talked when Truss got removed and Jeremy Hunt came in, that was sort of might be a return to kind of more of the same. There was a new idea, whether you liked it or not. That idea was rejected and we're now kind of going back to normal. This seems to be the sort of budget I would have expected, really. There's nothing particularly exciting or game-changing in there. It's just like, oh, we're not in a very good place, so everyone has to pay a bit more. And some of the measures, as we'll see, seem to have been backloaded a bit. They're not coming in until 2025 or so. Coincidentally, I believe that's after the next general election.
Yes, that was going to be my point as well. This is very interesting, the timing of some of this stuff.
So my cynical take on this, Rob, is there's pain to be felt. Everyone's going to feel it. But we'd rather they didn't feel it for a little while yet. And so you kind of forget that it's coming.
Or it may never come, like the stamp duty cut. So let's kick off there. They've left stamp duty alone, well, until 2025 and March 2025. But the next election needs to take place before January 2025. So really, that will be a decision for our next government, which may be the Tories, you never know. But at the moment, Labour are the odds-on favourites to win by a landslide. So that'll be really a Labour decision of whether stamp duty cuts remain. So hopefully that means that stamp duty won't be touched for the next few years, as they've stated, and we can enjoy the new thresholds that were brought in recently. They have started to remove capital gains relief, though, Rob. And this is not just a bit of a blow for property investors, but generally a blow for anybody who's made a profit on any of their investments.
Yeah, you might as well just not have an allowance anymore. It's been cut from its current 12,300 to 6,000 next year, and then 3,000 by April 24, which is just rubbish, really, isn't it? So you're effectively paying your capital gains tax rate on the entirety of your capital gain. Another one that will affect property investors who invest through companies is that the dividend allowance is being cut. So it's been cut from its current £2,000 to £1,000 next year and then £500 the year after that. So again, might as well not have it. I mean, it's tiny anyway. I seem to remember that the £2,000 we have now is a cut from £5,000 a couple of years ago. I've forgotten the details. So it being cut isn't a big deal because it was so low anyway. But that does mean that anyone who is trying to withdraw profits from a limited company is going to end up paying a bit more on it.
And really, that's the stuff that's going to impact property investors the most. There's lots of other stuff that will impact you on the day-to-day, like the wage bans being frozen for a number of years. But if you want to read up on what we've discussed and look at all the changes in full, head over to the Property Hub website and check out our show notes for this episode.
Just before we get into our main topic this week, a quick mention, if you didn't hear Ask Rob and Rob on Tuesday, you may not be aware that we are now answering your property questions in the Sunday Times every week. We made our debut last Sunday and we read out some of the questions that we received in Tuesday's Ask Rob and Rob, so you can always go back and listen to that one. So now, if you've got a property question, you could get it answered not just on the podcast, but also in the Sunday Times, which is pretty cool.
Right, let's talk mortgages because, let's face it, most of us are. For the last few months, they've been all over the place. And Rob and I have done our very best to try and navigate you through that chaos. But who's better than Rob and I to navigate you through the chaos? Well, a true expert, and that's who we have on the show this week, in Kelly Rule. Kelly has been on the podcast before. She knows the property market inside out when it comes to mortgages especially. She is part of the Sirius Finance team, and we are very lucky to have her on the show. But before we get into the questions that we know you're desperate to have answered, let's just give you a quick recap of what has been happening over the last few months, in case you've been living under a rock.
Yeah, so mortgage rates had actually been increasing gradually throughout this year, but then they really peaked in September after the now ironically named mini budget, where basically lenders' own cost of funding spiked and it appeared that it would be high way into the future, which meant that fixed rate mortgages in particular became very expensive very suddenly. And since then, for the last couple of months, things have been settling down. After that mini budget, the Bank of England put up the base rate by another 0.75%, which means, of course, if you're on a variable rate, your rate would have gone up. But fixed rates actually didn't go up any further because it was already priced in. And fixed rates have been gradually coming down over the last couple of months. But although things seem like they are settling a bit, it has been a really tumultuous time. And so many investors have been figuring out what they should do if you've got a deal coming to an end or they're in the middle of a purchase. It's been a very interesting time. We speak to a lot of investors, and so we know what's on people's minds and some of the situations that they're facing. But Kelly speaks to a lot more investors than we do, specifically about their mortgages. So we started by asking her what she's seeing in the market right now.
So the last 6 months have been crazy in the mortgage industry, to say the least. When the base rate started to increase back in May, lenders didn't know what to do initially. They had pipeline applications that had already been priced that in theory they had to honour. Swap rates and gilts were all over the place, and we saw a handful of lenders hike their rates right up, almost to price themselves out of the market, as they ideally didn't want any new business whilst the market was so uncertain. And we then had lenders who withdrew some or all product lines altogether. As you know, base rate is continuing to rise and will carry on doing so for the foreseeable. Therefore, all variable rate margins are mirroring this. And typically for a limited company buy-to-let, you're looking at margins of circa 2 to 2.5% over base rate for either 2 years or for the lifetime of the loan. However, what a lot of people don't know is that 5-year fixed rates are priced slightly differently. A portion is based on the base rate. However, they're linked to swap rates and gilts, which are priced based on what's happening right now and over the next 5 years to come.
Yep, it has definitely been a crazy few months. Well, not just in the mortgage market, the world, but it feels especially crazy in the mortgage market. And because of that, products were just being withdrawn at a moment's notice. You just couldn't plan with any certainty. Are you starting to see products come back to the market now?
5-year fixed rates are starting to be re-released and are creeping back down again. 5-year products are very important when it comes to investing in property, as the stress tests tend to be more lenient in comparison to a variable or a 2 or a 3-year fixed rate. And therefore, landlords can tend to secure a higher loan amount on the 5-year products, meaning you're keeping more cash free, ready to invest again in the next property and so on. And I'm confident over the next 2 to 3 weeks that majority, if not all, vanilla buy-to-let lenders will have followed suit. And this is exactly what we've been waiting for. With rates being so high, we have been struggling to get any loan-to-values anywhere near 75% recently. They've been averaging around 50 to 65%. However, if rates do come down to the 5.5% mark, then deals are starting to stack again. And as long as the rental can get us there, we will have options at 75%, which is fantastic news for us all.
We've been saying for the last couple of months on the podcast and on our YouTube channel that if you are in a position where you don't have to refinance right now, then just sit tight, do nothing and sort of see how the market settles, because we believe better products will come along and then that will be the time to take action. That's very easy for us to say in terms of generic advice, and it is what we're doing ourselves. But you have to actually have conversations with clients about their exact situations every day. So would you agree? And what are you telling them?
Yes, I do agree to a certain extent, as long as you can afford to do so. I have seen some horror stories where landlords' existing fixed rates have expired and the lender's standard variable rate, which they've reverted onto now, is now in the 6, 7, 8, 9% mark even. Their repayments have doubled, sometimes even tripled, and it's crippling them financially because their rental returns are nowhere near there. In these circumstances, I have been consulting on the possibility of remortgaging with a variable rate that has no early repayment charges. Even though these products do track the base rate, the margin that you pay above the base rate is fixed and is quite likely to be a lot less than the standard variable rate that you're currently paying with your existing lender. It means that you'll only ever be X percent above the base rate, but it will give you the chance to ride the wave out until the rates start to stabilize. We can then refinance you onto a 5-year fix with no penalty. And also, if it is a case that the client can hold fire, then that would absolutely be my first instance. If I'm consulting and I can't even get to their mortgage balance, and the clients are going to have to put a shortfall in right here, right now, based on the rate that I can get them, then the conversation I will be having will be, let's just hold fire for a couple of weeks, let's revisit it again, and let's see what we can do then, as long as you've got the ability to do so. And 9 times out of 10, they do. It's just obviously that small portion that can't, unfortunately, and that's where we can perhaps step in with another option.
Phew. I'm pleased, Kelly, because we've also been saying to people, hold fire. And it's great that you, the expert, the advisor, are giving that information as well. So I'm very pleased we're aligned on that point. So what about investors making purchases right now at the moment? What should they be doing? If they have the ability to buy cash and then refinance further down the line, is that worth considering?
Absolutely. And cash is king at the moment, right? There are some great opportunities out there. Although obviously, if you're buying in cash, you're tying up hundreds of thousands of pounds in one property purchase. And this will limit your ability to purchase any more assets during this period, which could be an issue depending on your strategy.
Yeah, definitely great opportunities around for anyone who can buy in cash. But obviously, a lot of investors are not in a position to do that. So for someone who's not able to buy cash, but also isn't seeing the mortgage products that they want or need, have you got any other options up your sleeve?
There's always a solution somewhere. So it's always worth having a conversation with a mortgage broker like myself. We've got a couple of lenders who can consider what's called top slicing. Now, for those of you who don't know, top slicing is when your rental can't quite meet the stress tests that the lenders require to be able to get you to a certain loan amount. That certain loan amount might be key for you because you've only got X amount of cash to put in as a deposit. All top slicing products were withdrawn way over 6 months ago because of the market uncertainty. Lenders wanted to kind of keep their stress tests really basic. However, we're starting to see some of those lenders come back again, but howbeit, it tends to be the tier four sorts of lenders. These lenders take on a bit more of a specialist property, a specialist transaction, and because of that, their rates tend to be quite significantly higher. So the rate might be higher, but if you're a high income earner, for example, if we can top slice some of your income to top up the rental, actually that might weigh up for you. But again, it'll be a consultation. We'll have to look at your circumstances, work out if that would actually pay off with the higher rates, bearing in mind that you might be tied in for a period of time as well. So if you'd want to refinance to get onto a better rate in the future, you may have to wait 2 years, 5 years to be able to be penalty free. Although saying that, paying your 2% penalty, you might be in a better situation being able to refinance onto a better rate at that time with that still making a profit for you.
There's a lot to consider at the moment, and that's obviously why we wanted you on the podcast. Are there any other products or lenders that people should be looking at right now? And what rate can investors expect right now for both personal and limited company mortgages?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have some lenders actually offering a switch and fix product. And I'm really liking this product at the moment. So basically, you remortgage onto their variable rate now, which again has the fixed margin above whatever the base rate is. And you can then switch onto a fixed rate at any time during the term of your mortgage with no extra charge. So there'll be no early repayment charge on your existing variable rate product. There'll be no arrangement fee on the new product. So it means, and it just gives clients the ability to kind of ride the wave out into next year, see what happens in the market. And as soon as those 5-year fixed rates start to come down, start to stabilize, they can then switch on at no extra cost to them. That can be really reassuring to those landlords who are in desperate need or really want to get that purchase secured today because they don't want to miss the opportunity. I guess the only con to all of that is that you are then linked to that lender. If you wanted to then refinance elsewhere, you would be subject to paying a penalty. 5-year deals are still mainly priced within the 6% mark as of today for limited companies, or 5% if you're buying in personal name. And we've seen a handful of lenders start to reduce these down over the past week and now have limited company at 5.49%. I think that's the market leading right now, and personal name products at 4.8%. Now, these are all buy-to-let products, may I add. If you're looking at your own main residential mortgage, they will be slightly lower than that. This is all for investment property. But what we tend to see is that it tends to work like a domino effect. As soon as one lender starts to reduce, the rest follow. So we're really confident as a handful have started to go already, and literally in the past week, we think over the next 2 to 3 weeks, the rest will follow, and then we'll start to stabilise towards the end of the year.
Oh, I love our portfolio app, and we're on a mission to open up the benefits of property investment to as many people as possible. And we are doing that with the mobile app Portfolio. Remember, Portfolio provides what we believe is a completely new way to access the potential benefits of property investment while feeling just as involved as if you owned a buy-to-let. You can find out more about investing through Portfolio at portfolio.co.uk.
Now, as you'll know, there's a lot in the media at the moment about house prices dropping, and they fell a tiny, tiny bit last month, which is normal for the time of year. But will they fall further? Who really knows? But because the media is talking up big, scary numbers, it's something that's very much on everyone's mind. And as a result, we've had a lot of questions from people who want to know about what they can do about refinancing if the value of their asset has dropped. Not a situation that many people are in now, but they're concerned that they could be in the future. Now, if the amount of equity you've got in a property drops, then in a way, who cares, right? Because as long as the rent's coming in, you're all good, as long as you weren't planning on selling. But what if the value of the property drops just as you're coming to the end of a fixed rate? And as a result, you can't refinance on favourable terms because your loan to value is suddenly much higher. Is there anything you can do there?
This is a really interesting question and one that I probably get asked about daily. Again, it depends on your specific circumstances, what rent you are achieving, to what stress test we can meet. We will always have a solution for a client. It just might be that the solution we're offering might be a little bit higher than what you're willing to pay, but that actual rate that we're offering might be less than the standard variable rate you're about to revert onto with your existing lender. So, for example, we have some real specialist buy-to-let lenders that are in the tier four bracket, as I put them. They're in a tier four bracket because they lend on quirkier properties, they lend on quirkier circumstances. They are lenders within their own right, but they're funded slightly differently to the likes of a bank. And because they're a bit smaller, they're not governed by the Bank of England as such. So they can deal with criteria slightly differently, albeit it's all completely legal and all still within lines of responsible lending. But because of that, they're able to look at reduced stress tests. So we have some lenders where you can actually look to bring the stress test down to about 110% cover, whereas typically it's a blanket 125% cover or 140, 145% cover if you're buying in personal names and you're a higher rate taxpayer. And that's where we're struggling to get the extra loan amount out and where we're then starting to see shortfalls on refinances because we can't get the amount of loan to repay your existing facility and clients are having to dip into their pocket to repay a shortfall, which we really don't want to happen if we can help it. So in those instances, I would be quoting these more expensive lenders and then consulting with the clients to see would that be beneficial or would it make more sense perhaps just to ride out your existing deal for another week or two. Let's reassess again in a couple of weeks and then see where we can get to. And then hopefully at that point, we'll be able to be in a position where we can either refinance like for like, or hopefully even try and pull some capital out for you if we can, if the values are increased for us to be able to do so.
Yeah, even waiting a few more weeks could really make a difference. So if you can, do hold on. Okay, so that's the current. But what about the future, Callie? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you see happening over the next 6 to 12 months?
I wish I had a crystal ball. It would make my job so much easier. In my personal opinion, I think rates will stabilise towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. Base rate, I think, will probably look to stabilise, I would say, at some point Q1, Q2 next year. But I think 5-year fixes definitely will start to stabilise soon. I think we will see a dip in the market. That's predicted by the experts, but I believe this will only be in the short term. Whilst confidence is rebuilt within the economy and people start buying and remortgaging again without the worry on soaring rates. But I think that dip is quite inevitable. We're starting to see valuations come in a little bit less than what we were hoping for, only by a pinch, but that is clear to see. But I don't think we're going to go into any form of recession. But again, that's my opinion. What will actually happen in the market, who knows? But that's what I believe will happen.
Yeah, don't worry. Sadly, we can't see the future either. So we're just giving our own opinion as well. But people always want to hear opinions, even if they're not certain. So let's ask you another one. Clearly, the base rate is way higher than it was a year ago. The base rate was always going to go up because it was so low. I think the only thing that's taken people by surprise is how quickly that's happened. And as a result of that, there's been so much uncertainty about what path they're going to take in future, which means, as we've already talked about, fixed rates have ended up trying to price in really big future movements, and you've ended up with very high rates. So the question is, as things settle down a bit, hopefully, and we start moving into 2023, where do you think borrowing rates are going to settle?
Do I think the rates will come back down to what they were 6 months ago? No. I think we are going to find a new normal at around the 5% mark for limited company buy-to-lets, and then possibly a 4% mark for buy-to-lets and personal name. I also strongly believe that rental yields will continue to rise over the next 6 to 12 months. And eventually yields will be back to what we're used to. And it will be business as usual. We won't know any different at that time. And I think it'll be nice to get back into that new normal so investors can carry on investing, knowing that they'll be able to comfortably get a 75% mortgage and keep as much cash back free so they can then go on to the next one, like what we used to do all those months ago. 6 months ago seems like a long time, but it's actually not that long at all. But yeah, hopefully normality will resume soon.
A huge thank you to Kelly. Loads and loads of knowledge dropped there. And the questions that you've just wanted it answering, you know, we wanted them answering as well. That's why we got her onto the show. And hopefully that's made a real difference and helps you plan. Rob and I always say this. It's not the first time we said it, and it won't be the last time we say it either. Is when it comes to buy-to-let mortgages, always use a mortgage broker. Now, Kelly can't look after all of you. There's far too many of you. But if you choose to use a mortgage broker like us, make sure they're a buy-to-let expert, not somebody who's willing to do your buy-to-let mortgage. As you've heard in this podcast, there is so much to consider right now. Generally, it's a great idea to use an expert, but now more than ever. So once again, a huge thank you to Kelly. And of course, we will have Kelly and other experts coming back onto the pod on a regular basis to keep you informed of what's happening in the market right now. And Rob and I will do our very best to keep you informed as well.
Very nearly the end of the show, but we always squeeze in a Hub Extra, the bit of the show where we give you an extra resource of some description to help you get some more out of your week. And Rob, we normally share something by somebody else that we've discovered and that we've enjoyed. But this week, Rob, there's a video that we put out that is super relevant to exactly what we've been talking about today. So it makes sense to share it.
Absolutely. And it's a video done by your good self, Rob. And I think it's really important that people follow up this episode by watching this video. The video is called UK Mortgage Rates. What should you do? If you want even more knowledge and information of what's going on here and get Mr. D's take on this situation, which I think you absolutely must, this is a great video, then head over to our Property Hub YouTube channel. You'll find it there, very easy, or just search for UK mortgage rates, what should you do, in YouTube. Now, if you aren't subscribed to the YouTube channel, then you're a bit mad, because in January, we've got loads and loads and loads more YouTube content coming your way. So it is right now that you should be subscribing if you haven't, and set your notification bell as well if you want to make sure that you never miss a video. So go and check that video out, UK mortgage rates, what should you do? It covers a lot, and also gets into swap rates, which I know most people don't understand. And if I'm being honest, a few months ago, I probably didn't understand myself. But a crisis gets you knowledgeable. Make sure you become knowledgeable and watch that video and get up to date on everything that's going on.
Well, that is us done for this week, but we'll be back next Thursday because it's market update time again. Once again, there's been a bit going on in the last month, and we'll be rounding it all up for you next Thursday. So do make sure you join us for that one. In the meantime, you can find us on all the socials at Property Hub UK. Until we see you next, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.